Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back with 96 Live. I'm your host, Robert Hart. And today we're broadcasting from Starport in 96, which is located on Highway 248, about 2 miles south of town, at the 96 National Historic Site. And we're having a crafts and trade exhibit today. And we're going to learn all about things that they traded or bought at the trading post, which is how the town got started. Now, 96 was established on the frontier in the early 18th century. 96 figured prominently in the Anglo-Cherokee War. It was also a site for the southern campaigns of the American Revolutionary War. The first land battle of the Revolutionary War south of New England was fought here in 1775. In 1780, the British fortified the strategically important frontier town with a star fort. From May 22nd to June 18th, 1781, Major General Nathaniel Lee, with 1,000 American Patriot troops, besieged 550 American Loyalists who were defending the 96. General Greene's chief engineer at the siege was the world-renowned Polish Colonel Thaddeus Kosciuszko, who was wounded at the siege. 96 on the Saluda River was critical for the defense of the northwest portion of the state and the most strategically important position in South Carolina after Camden. Now, Thaddeus Kosciuszko, again, he was an engineer who built the only surviving Revolutionary War tunnel, and it will be a broadcast on PBS the 27th of August, which will explain more about that. And we're here today for Living History Day, which is a historical reenactment, and it's an education or entertainment activity for people to follow a plan to recreate aspects of a historical event or period. Now, we do have quite an assortment of different crafts and skills being on display today, and we're going to talk with them in a few minutes. Now, next Living History Day will be on the 19th of September, and we'll probably be back out here to do another broadcast. Now, I've already spoken to some of those reenactors. Is one who's doing 18th century art. There's another that's doing basket weaving with pine needles, which is something different and you don't see every day. And then we also have someone who will teach us more about trading furs and tracking animals. And we'll see if we can get a few words out about that. How you doing? So we're going to go over here right now and see if we can talk to the basket weavers real quick and find out a bit more about what they're doing and how they get started and what's all involved in this. And we'll see what we can learn today. And how are you doing today?
Hello.
Okay, what's your name?
Annie.
Okay, Annie, could you tell us a bit about what you're doing today?
I'm making baskets out of pine needles, South Carolina pine needles. Very similar to sweetgrass baskets folks make along South Carolina. In this area, there wasn't sweetgrass, so they used pine needles. Same technique.
Okay, how long does it take you to actually do one of these?
For a small basket, it's maybe 2 inches tall. Take about all day, 8 hours, 9 hours.
Wow.
Very time-consuming, but not very difficult. And the materials were free for the colonists. Just everywhere out in the backyard, you could pick them up. They would make baskets, use them for storage, use them as trade goods, trade people with the baskets.
Okay, and how did you learn how to do this?
I learned from a book about basket making. Sat down and tried it one day.
I guess you're a little
I've been doing it for about 5 years.
lot of baskets. Okay. Is there someplace people who have to learn how to do this, or?
I'm not sure. I'm sure you can probably find it online. There's not very many people that do this still. I know there's kits out there for people who want to get started, sell kits and things.
Okay.
Or I can come out here and I'll show them.
All right. That sounds like a good idea. The picture's worth a thousand words. You have to see this work here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing.
A lot of folks stop out here in the past and I've shown them how, and they've come back and shown me the baskets they made. A lot of fun.
Oh, okay. And something very useful. Once you make it, you can use it anywhere in the house with a variety of things.
And they last for a really long time. They've been all the long sounds that have been from early, early American history. They're still around.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to say a few words, by chance?
I'm out here today cracking nuts. People back then would store nuts and use them for trading different things for more supplies than they need. And it was amazing they scored them like that all over the water.
All right, well, thank you very much. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. I'm going to ask about what's
we're being historians here, and we're having once a month in the summer we have a gathering like this. And what I do is read people and answer questions. And I find that it's more effective if you're a living historian to talk to young people and try to ask people questions.
That's exactly the point.
That's what we're doing. We've got a bit about the rest of the world. These are repeat centuries for understanding the Smith Law, which is similar to the weapons that you might have here. It's a rifle basket. And those readings, primarily by civilians, but readings during the Revolutionary War, primarily by the Americans, the rebels, the patriots. The British is not like this. And I'm scared of powder, like powder and a thing like this, and a possible thing about like this. And I'm dressed in this prison, but the times when we have lived in this time, we become dressed in this
prison. Okay. I'll probably get a video, a couple pictures of it later.
That would be fine.
All right.
You can sit on the porch.
Okay, thank you very much.
I will.
All right. And there you have it. Have another living historian just show up. We're going to put him behind the business center real quick and see if we can get some information about his passport there. And find out a bit more about this historic site. Like I said, it's a really beautiful site. They have walking trails out here. You can see the starport. The rifle towers, and of course there's the Black Swan Tavern, which is how the town got started, in the trading post, and where everyone would meet to trade for furs and gunpowder and so on. And now we're heading into the visitor center real quick. And how are you today?
Good, how are you?
All right. You'd like to tell people about the visitor center?
The visitor center is, we've got plenty to do at the visitor center. We've got our little bookstore here, and we have a small museum. And if you're interested, we do have a funny video that you can watch that explains our history here. And we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 9 to 4.
Okay. How do you like these Western History Days?
I find them pretty interesting. They're a good way for the public to see kind of how life was.
All right, thank you very much. All right, we're going to catch a few more of the living historians. They're showing up one by one and find out another skill, possibly. Like I said, they're out here today from 10 to 2. And it's an absolutely beautiful day, nice and sunny. Few wispy clouds in the sky, but it's not too hot and not too humid. And it's a beautiful summer day. Like I said, you can just come on out and walk around and see what you can learn. And I'm going to try to speak with a few more of the reenactors real quick and find out another skill that they may have used back then. And I'm telling you, this work is really amazing. You really have to see it for yourself. We'll be trying to shoot some videos today and upload them later this week so you can see for yourself if you don't happen to make it today. And as I said also, next Living History Day will be September the 19th. And can't make it today. It's put in your schedule to come out to the next one. Now we're going to see if we can speak with the artist real quick. How are you doing today, sir?
Can you tell us what you're out here doing today?
Well, I'm going to be portraying an 18th century artist, of which there were a lot in America. Charleston had several artists there, and a lot of people don't know about it, but they painted some very beautiful pictures in the 1700s in South Carolina. American colonies, and I have some authentic materials here. These are the dry pink pigments are ochres and clays and minerals, which have been powdered, and those are representative of the time period.
Yes.
Natural bristle brushes, and I'll be sitting here this afternoon and hopefully producing a picture. Talk with visitors about the art of the 18th century.
Okay. How long does it take you to do one of these paintings, approximately?
It takes a few hours.
Okay.
This one did of some peaches. The other week, this is of all the pigments that I had got recently.
Okay.
And this small picture, which is only about a 4x4, this took probably 2 or 3 hours.
Okay.
To do that. And there are oil paintings, which is authentic. They can paint with the linseed oil, which is here. And it goes to paint quite readily, and you're ready to go for it.
Okay. How did you learn how to do this?
I started art lessons about 6 years ago.
Okay.
In the art center in Uptown Greenwood. Took art lessons, and I paint every Tuesday and sometimes more days during the week. But I've been a reenactor for almost 40 years.
Okay.
And I thought, well, it's easy to have a 18th century art collection.
Right.
So I've been gathering authentic materials together and presenting this as my my latest impression that I do for visitors.
Okay. Are those materials hard to find now, or?
No, they're not really easy, but you can find the pigments on places like eBay and Etsy and some other websites that I ever knew existed. The pigments, that is.
Right.
They're out there, and people produce the authentic ones, so that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
So there you have it. Now we've seen an artist. Seen a animal tracker, and we also spoke with a basket weaver making pine needle baskets. How you doing today, sir? And I think we just found someone else we might be able to talk to. Let him get set up real quick. Like I said, it's Living History Day out at Starfort in 96 South Carolina, located on Highway 248. 2 miles south of town, and we're out here from 10 to 2 today. People just starting to show up and walk around. And like I said, a bit later I'm definitely get some pictures and try to shoot some video. You'll be able to see the stuff in action. There's some really beautiful work, very detailed, and it's amazing some of the work that they do. The patience that it takes, the time, and the skills that they display is extraordinary. I'm glad it's being preserved. It's something that you really need to see and experience. So I would say if you can, just come on down and check them out. Now, like I said, our next scheduled broadcast will be September 19th out here for Living History Day. And guess we'll see some more reenactors of a different kind that day. Now, they do have recreations out here from time to time. They then do have a candlelight tour. That'll be in October. We'll probably be back out here for that. We're also going to be broadcasting the 96th Christmas Parade. We're also going to be broadcasting the Masquerade on Main, which will be Halloween on Main Street. And that'll be another fun event for the local community. And like I said, it's really amazing work to be seen out here today. So there's any way at all that you can make it out here. It's a free event. Just load up the kids and come on down and walk around the park. Let them see the sights, see the animals, see the different displays, and just have a good, fun, relaxing family day. For now,